Well, I'm going to go back to Galatians this morning if I can. Galatians chapter number 6. And I just want to, I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like I just weary you all with these studies. But I believe it's what God wants. I believe with all my heart it's what God would have for us. And so I want to try to help you if I can. Galatians chapter number 6. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Word of God says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." I'm going to stop reading there just a second to make a comment. You ought to mark that twice in your Bible. That'll help you right there. "For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Jump down to verse 14. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, this morning I come to you. Lord, I just thank you for the good fellowship we've had here. Oh, the last day or so, Father, I know it's just been your mercy to come to me and help me. I thank you, Lord, that the old account was settled, been settled long ago. I thank you, Lord, you give me faith to be a believer. I thank you, Lord, for keeping power. And now, Lord, we're getting ready to look at your word. I can't help you, saints, unless you help them through me. I ask you to feed the little sheep. I ask you, Lord, if you would, to take away all distractions and hindrances. I ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit move upon each heart, make it worth their time to come to church this morning. But above all, I ask you to be glorified and honored and uplifted, for you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord, to be worshipped this morning. Help us now. Have your blessed way, and we'll praise you. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. Well, we preached on Galatians 5 maybe last week, and we see when we come to Galatians 5 and 6, we see an emphasis on practical Christianity. An emphasis on practical Christianity. And Paul, I almost said last week always, I don't know if he always does, but it seems Paul balances doctrine and duty. He'll give doctrine and then he'll come back and he'll make application. And I know you Bible students know that. But that's what Paul, I see Paul doing in chapters 5 and 6 for the struggling Galatian believers. They're struggling. They're struggling doctrinally. They began right, but they gotten sideways. Galatians 3 and 3, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" And so they were wrestling doctrinally, but they were also wrestling in their relationships and relationally, if that is a word. I want you to notice what he says in chapter 5 and verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And so we see they were struggling there just a little bit. Verse 26 says, let us not be, chapter 5, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Chapter 4 and 28 says, But now we, brethren, as Isaac were, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. And so there were some doctrinal struggles, but with that doctrinal struggles, and no doubt they're tied together, the flesh, they had some on the grace side, and maybe some slipping into the flesh, and it was creating some personal antagonism, maybe we could say. But there were some struggles going on. And there were some relational struggles. And so we said this on last week, and let me give you this by way of introduction, then we'll get into chapter 6. Paul gives them some truths to help them in their struggles. And if you're struggling today, the same devil is fighting you that was fighting the Galatians. And we're not ignorant of his devices. And what Paul told them, if we'll take heed to, it will help us. Now he said this in verse 1, if I can just say it this way, basically he said, hold to the truth. Now the way he said it is, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's saying, hold on to the grace, the truth of grace, and do not mix law with it, as you're trying to do. He said that. Hold to the truth. And then in verse number 7, he said you need to, your hindrances need to be focused on. He said this, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Now he knew who hindered them, but he's wanting them to think about that. He's wanting them to evaluate that. And so I say to you today, who's hindering you? Who is it? What is it? He didn't say what, but he said who. It was people. Many times, it's people. And I don't want to preach that again. Then verse number 9, he said, heed the doctrine of leaven. The doctrine of leaven is that it spreads until the whole is leavened. And false doctrine will do just that. And so you need to heed that doctrine. You need to understand if you have sin in your life, you do not deal with it, it'll get bigger. And it'll get bigger. And it'll get bigger. If you have false doctrine, you will not heed that false doctrine. It will grow. It'll get a bigger foothold in your life. And you'll believe more error and more error and more error. You wonder why some people believe what they believe. It started with one little doctrinal error, and it just, they would not repent when God dealt with them. They would not acknowledge it to be error when the Word of God reproved them. And it just grew and grew. And grew. And so we see that you need to heed the doctrine of leaven. I'm not careful, I'll preach this all again. Verse number 13, we see we are to help one another spiritually in the spirit of love. And verse number 15, the hateful tongue has to be dealt with. In verse number 16 and 25, a heaven-ordered walk must be pursued. No way around it. Verse 26, humility had to be sought after. Now, Paul's given the Galatians advice, and we preached through all of those sometime, either Wednesday night or Sunday, I can't remember now, but now we're going to go into chapter 6. And again, Paul is dealing with these spiritual truths to help God's people. And as we look at this, I want you to understand they were struggling. And I want to ask you today, before we get started, are you struggling? And maybe I ought to ask it this way, How much are you struggling? Because we all are strugglers to some degree because we have the flesh. We're not separated from the flesh. And so we're struggling along to some degree. Some much more than others, I suspect. But Paul is trying to help them take doctrinal truths, and he's trying to make application in their life. Mine's so important. It's good to know the truth, but my, what's going to help you is when you apply the truth in your life and let it do what it needs to do. The Word of God will change you if you'll let it. That's what's wrong today, folks. We'll not allow the Word of God, Brother John, to change them and make, they keep trying to change the Word of God. They try to explain it away. They try to say, no, it don't mean this, it means that. Just let the Word of God change you for how it wants to. Let it change you. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to help them. They're struggling. Some of you all struggling, if you just be honest about it. Well, we come down to chapter 6, and Paul says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken of fault, ye which are spiritual. Now, he's talking to not just the brethren, but now he's talking to the spiritual brethren. Now that brings up a question, and I'm just gonna slow up and kind of preach it however the Lord has it. What makes a spiritual brethren? I've heard people say, "Well, I'm too spiritual for that." Honestly, have heard that, and what they're saying is, "I'm spiritual," and I've heard people say, and maybe rightfully so. I don't know. I've grown past that. Maybe they have. I don't know. But what makes a spiritual brother? Well, I want you to look, and I think we can see this in chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." Now, one of the first things, I'm going to give you several things here, and I don't know, maybe we're just going to go through the message. One of the first things that I see that makes a spiritual brother, he don't do the things he wants to do all the time. Now, they're believers. If they want to fire off, they fire off. I'm talking about with their mouth. If they want to get angry and pitch a fit, they just pitch a fit. They want to lay home, sleep in the bed on Sunday morning while God's people's trying to have church, and they're part of it. They just want to be unfaithful. They just whatever the flesh wants to do, that's kind of the route they do it. But can I tell you, a spiritual brother, he can't do what the flesh wants him to do. That is what it says, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And so we see first of all, it's one that a spiritual brother, let me just say it this way, I know we wrestle the flesh and we get defeated at times, but understand what I'm saying. I want to say a regular basis. And you can run me in the ditch on this if you want, but on a regular basis, he has victory over the flesh. He has victory over the flesh. And you can't have victory over the flesh through the Lord. You can't within yourself, but through the Lord. But now a spiritual brother is this, one that manifests the fruits of the Spirit in their life. Verse 22 and 23 of chapter 5. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." That's the fruit of the Spirit. Now I want to ask you, do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? I'm giving you a test to see if I'm giving you some parameters, some criteria that you can evaluate your spirituality and see if you're a spiritual brother. Do you have love in your heart, in your life? Does it control? Do you have joy? You say, what about the circumstance? You have joy in difficult circumstances. Do you have joy? If there's joy, that's a good sign. Maybe the Spirit, you're a spiritual person. Joy. What about peace? I look around this room and some of y'all's lives have fallen apart. If I was to sit and give you my 10 greatest concerns for my family, you would say this, preacher, those are legitimate concerns. I can see why you would be concerned. I can see why you'd be troubled. You'd say that, and I could say the same about you. Brother Roy, you've been going through perhaps the greatest storm of your life over the past couple of years. Three. My, we could look around. These folks not here, and they're not here because they're going through troubles. But I guess what I'm saying is we can have the fruit of the Spirit regardless of our circumstances. And spiritual, I believe this, spiritual brethren maintain the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Do you have that? Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering. Boy, I get slayed there, Brother Miller, so many times in my life. Gentleness. Sometimes I'm the farthest thing from gentle. I'm not trying to... Why I'm saying that is I don't want you to think I'm just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. Sometimes I'm not very spiritual. But Mike, can I tell you, if you're going to be spirit-filled, there'll be a gentleman. I grew up where men... They were to be tough and kind of mean and I don't mean mean, but they talk plain and firm. And there's nothing wrong with some of that to some degree. But you know the fruit of the Spirit's gentleness. Are you spiritual? Are you spiritual? It's gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness. You know what meekness is? Managing your emotions. Being able to hold your emotions in check. And then temperance, self-control, self-denial, doing what's right when you want to do what's wrong. Temperance. Spiritual brethren have the fruit of the Spirit evident in their life. And they have victory to some degree on a regular basis over the lust of the flesh. And in verse 25 it says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Spiritual brethren walk in the Spirit under the influence and the direction. I use this a lot in my life. I ask the Lord when I pray to order my steps for the day, a lot of times, especially if I pray early in the day, order my steps this day. Help me to walk exactly how you want me to. Spiritual brethren, they're not just working off their emotions. They're not just saying, here's what I'll do today. I believe I'll do this. No, spiritual brethren are sensitive to the promptings and leadings and movings of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Spiritual brethren, practice humility. Verse 26. But then we come down to our text. And I want to say this, spiritual brethren, show compassion to those in need. The first thing I see in chapter 6, once we define spiritual brethren, we see three brethren. And each one of them's entitled to help. The Bible says this, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, not ye which are believers, not ye which are saved. That's not what it says. Paul didn't say that, but he said, ye which are spiritual. restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. There's a fruit of the Spirit, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The first brethren we see that needs some compassion is the overtaken brother. The one who has fallen. My, do we not live in a world of fallen brethren? Are they not on every hand? Is it not so easy to shun and hi-hat and turn your head and play holier than thou and think you're somebody when you're just as acceptable to failure yourself? Should we not restore such a one in the spirit of meekness? Restoration, when someone fails, you don't kick them down lower. You don't get behind their back and talk, "Can you believe what Joe done? Hey, guess what I heard? Guess what else I heard? They told me he did this." You don't do that. You know what God's order is for the fallen brethren, first and foremost? Restoration. Have you ever had to be restored? Have you ever failed the Lord so bad, made such a mess? All you can do is just crawl back and say, "Lord, help me. Lord, please restore." You remember what old David said? "Restore to me the joy of salvation." David made a mess. He had made a horrible mess. He'd committed murder and adultery. He couldn't undo it. There's nothing he could do. He'd already messed up. He couldn't make amends. All he could say is call to God and say, "Oh God, restore me. Restore the joy of my salvation." My God does that for us. Ought we not to try through the grace of God to restore a fallen brethren? Where's our compassion at? And not restored in a sense of Phariseeism or hypocrisy, but in a spirit of meekness. Yeah, you need to get right. That ain't God's way. That's not a spirit of meekness. My, we have such, we call it righteous indignation. I think we're masking old fleshly anger sometimes with that phrase. There's folks that's fallen and they're God's children. They need a helping hand. And if you're spiritual, you need to restore them in the spirit of meekness. That's compassion. But then number two, not only do we see, the brother that's overcome in the fault, but we see the oppressed brother. The burdens of life, are just more. It's just almost more than they can bear. You say, "Preacher, what can that be?" Can I tell you, it can be children problems. Some of you young mom and dads, you don't know till you raise your children. I've seen them, little young women touting and bragging about what they do, and young men, "This is what I'd advise my son I'd do." You don't know till you walk in them shoes. Amen, preacher. You know I'm telling it right. You old heads do. It's one thing to say what you do, but when it's your children, it's a different matter. You'll go as far as you can possibly go for your children. That's right. You know I'm right. They can burden you. If there's anything that can burden your heart, it's troubled and wayward and disobedient children. I'm telling you, it can be a weight that's almost unbearable. And then there's physical burdens that people carry. Brother Roy's carried a burden for 2.5, 3 years, however long. Here's what they said to me the other day. Nobody knows but the Lord. I'm glad He does know. Been under a burden. Never knowing when he'll get bad news or good news. Ever doctors call just on pins and needles. Physical calamities. Financial burdens. Life. We could just... You old heads have all been there. You've been through different stages. I remember in our young married life, we were financially foolish and we got ourselves in debt. Wow, this just months, the anxiety was so heavy because we didn't know we'd be able to make it. God always blessed us and helped us looking back. But the burden and the load of carrying that strain, and it's affected us for life. I'm talking about God's people have burdens they have to carry. Health and financial and family burdens, and we could just go on. Emotional burdens sometimes, marriage problems, and all those things. You know what the Bible says? Don't just say, "Hey, they made their bed, let them lay in it." Don't we love that little saying? They made their bed, they can lay in it. Boy, that's something, and I understand. Sometimes people don't want any help and you can't help them. I understand that. But can I tell you, sometimes people just get under burdens and they just need somebody to help them carry it a little bit. That's right. I'm telling you right. And I don't know how you carry somebody's burdens. Maybe I do financially. You'd help a little bit. But you know, some of these other things, I think sometimes just a kind word. Brother Miller, just a word that just says, "I'm praying for you, brother. I'm with you." Sometimes just a good word just cheered me on a little farther. It's just helped me. You see, Paul's telling these folks who are bickering, it appears, between themselves, "You spiritual, you're going to have to make a difference and you're going to have to show some compassion. There's some that's oppressed with these burdens and you need to help bear them." And I'd just like to ask you all this morning, is there somebody you could help bear their burden? I've thought about Sharon. Sharon, she just shows her feelings. She won't mind me saying that. I've known her, I guess, 30 years, maybe 25, however long I've lived up here. And she was so burdened over Jake. She was so burdened. Do you know, can I tell you just the prayers and the phone calls and the people talking to her, can I tell you, that helped lighten her burden. I could see that. Can I tell you, church, you help carry your burden. We need to help each other carry our burdens. That's compassion. And here's the thing, it'll take your time. It'll inconvenience you. It'll be a distraction in your scheduled life. But my compassion helps the burden brethren. And then I'm going to jump down and give you this last one in verse number 6. "Let him that's taught the word communicate unto him that teacheth." Here is the overseeing brother, the brother that's teaching the truths of the Word of God. "Let him communicate unto him in all good things." So many times I've thought about my dad. He pastored Morgan County, I guess, 30 years. I don't know, somewhere thereabouts. And maybe a little over, I believe, if I'm thinking right. He'd preach his heart out. And y'all know back when we was boys how they did God's men. They'd give him $7-$8, whatever the morning. He just had 10 or 13 and most 15, whatever it was, a lot of them old. I'm not saying they didn't do the best they could, but they just wasn't able to take care of him. What can I say? If you're able, y'all take care of that overseer. That's a burden. That's a burden. And Mike, can I just say it? I'm not preaching to you because you do me. Brother Miller, there's no church took care of me. I don't believe no church for their size takes care of their pastor like this church does me. In fact, I'm almost embarrassed how good you all are to me. Almost feel like I'm taking advantage of you. And I'm not preaching that, but there's three brethren that needed compassion. And he said this to the Galatian believers, ye that's spiritual, you show compassion to those men. Can I tell you a cure for bickering and fussing, distances and disturbances amongst God's people? If you'll just show compassion to the burdened, to the overseeing, or the teacher, let me just say it that way, and to the fallen. That'll go a long ways in solving any problems that there might be. And so we see compassion. And I could talk about that for some time. But then I want you to notice too, it says in verse number 2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Look in chapter 5, verse 14. I believe this is the law he's talking about. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the whole law. That's what it says. You're a debtor to your brother. You may not like it, but the fact of the matter is, we're indebted to one another to help each other along life's way. Isn't that right? Am I preaching to her this morning, or is that so? I ask you, is that so? You know it is. Here's what he... And really, so many times, we won't assume that debt. Too busy. Too scheduled up. Too caught up in our own life. I want to tell you, you have a debt to pay to your brethren. And if you're spiritual, you need to pay that debt. Then we see a concern. We see a concern. Notice what it says. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. There's pride. Can I tell you pride straight out of hell? Now I say sometimes something like this, well, I'm proud of him. That's not what I'm talking about, pride. I'm talking about when you really start thinking you're somebody. Yeah, self-righteous. Pharisaical. Pride's out of hell. And you know what we do sometimes? Well, we're this and we're that. And I don't do like so-and-so does. And that makes me special to God. And I understand you've got to live by your convictions. But can I say, if you're not careful, here's the thing. Godly people serving the Lord, they're susceptible to pride. And can I tell you why? Because we will not obey that admonition. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians about comparing ourselves one to another. And then we look over there and we say, hey, he's fallen. I'd never do that. Can you believe he would do something like that? Can you believe he'd leave his wife for another woman? Can I tell you that could happen to you? You don't believe it, do you? It could. You say, well, I'm this or I'm that. Can I tell you, I used to work for an insurance company. There's a 70-year-old man come in one day and he left his wife. Left his wife. You're not above that. You're not above having a cussing fit, whatever you want to call it. You may think you are. You're not above talking about gossiping about somebody. You say, I'd never do that. You don't know what you'd do if you get away from the Lord. While He's out drinking and carrying on, what would you be if the Lord didn't help you? What would you be? Be careful about thinking what you are. There's no good in you outside of what God's put in you. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? Go ahead, put yourself on a pedestal. You'll just hit a little harder when you hit the ground. That's right. Don't build me up. I'm just flesh. Don't build yourself up. You're just flesh. Because when we fall, it hurts a whole lot more. That's right. You know I'm telling you right. We're all people. I know God can help us live right and do right. But I'm telling you, in the flesh, we're not above doing the worst of sins. Amen. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Can I tell you what you are without the Lord? You're a big old zero. What you are, you're a big old zero. That's all you are. And the goodness that we have, the fact that we're sitting in church today, trying to live right and do right, you know what that is? That's God. That's helped us, brother. That's God that's given us knowledge about His Word. That's God that's guided us past this ditch and that pothole through many dangers and snares and whatever the song goes. We've got through those things because of God. No other reason. We've got through that. Then there's a command. Don't think too much of yourself, but prove His own Word. You know what I'd just like to tell you from that? I don't know that I know fully what proving your own work is. Maybe some of y'all can help me on that. But can I tell you what I think it does imply? We ought to focus on ourselves. That's right. What's God? Hey, I think God's going to make a preacher out of him. I think they ought to be singing. I think they ought to be teaching. What ought you to be doing? What should you be? He ought to quit doing this. What ought you to quit? What about your life? Let's put it to you. You know, really, if you get down to it, the only people you can change is yourself. Here, I preach to y'all 3 times a week. I can't change you. Only you can change yourself. You know, I need to focus on what God wants me to do and let Him do in your life, and you focus on what God wants you to do, and let's just serve God. And we'll prove our works. My, we see a command to prove your own work. But then we see a concept, and I'm probably going to close right here. I've left my... I want to talk to you about this little concept for a minute. Verse number 7. I guess Andy closed out Sunday school with it this morning. It says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." Now, I'm just going to stop right there a minute and say this. You ain't going to mock God. Play your little games, play your spiritual games. Be religious in the church and worldly outside. Do whatever you want to do. God's not mocked. You ain't going to mock God. Now, you say, what do you mean by that? Y'all just ask Him to forgive me. He'll forgive me. You'll still reap what you sow. Now, if I can get this right, here's what Andy was saying this morning, Sunday school. And it's so, he said it was Jacob who lied about his brethren to his father, used a coat, shed blood. Was that one of the things he did to deceive Isaac? There's 4 things he did. The same thing that Jacob did to Isaac, he reaped it through the 12. There's a coat used, lied to the father about the brother. There's a coat used. There's blood shed. He, basically what he's saying, he, even though God forgave him, he reaped what he sowed. We reap what we sow. David, he killed Uriah. Nathan told him, God's forgive you, but he reaped that killing fourfold. He was forgiven when he reaped it, but he reaped it. Now I want to tell you something. You won't mock God. You mock the preacher. You make light of me. You can get behind my back, say whatever you want to say. You'll not mock God. God is not mocked. You won't make fun of Him, get by. You won't belittle His Word and get by. God is not mocked. And then it expounds on that, not mocking. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now the fact of the matter, he's talking to believers here. That's who he's talking to. And the fact of the matter, he's talked about the fruits of the flesh and the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. He's already told you what the works of the flesh. And those believers live their life by the works of the flesh. And they think they're getting by. I'm still going to heaven. I'm saved. God is not mocked. You're not getting by. You may think you're getting by, but God's not mocked. You won't take God's Word lightly and get by with it. Oh, I'm going to live like all other church people do. I'm going to be lukewarm. I'm going to be carnal. I'm going to be half in, half out. I'm going to be spiritual on Sunday and fleshly Monday through Saturday. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Notice what it says. For he that soweth, he's talking to spiritual, he's talking to believers right here. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I don't think we're talking about salvation here. I know you could take that and make that application. But I think in context we're talking about believers. That's operating by their fleshly motives, their fleshly lust, their fleshly desires. And they think they're getting by because everything's going good. They're in the church and they're well thought of. But Paul said, God is not mocked. And then he says it this way, for he that soweth to his flesh, how do you sow to your flesh? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, violence, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And that's not the end of the list. He just quit talking about it and said, and such like. And such like. All them things that go with it. There's believers sowing to the flesh and thinks they're getting by. How foolish. They're deceived. They're deceived. And if you're like that, let me tell you this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And that's driving me. That's compelling me this morning to say that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You better get right with God. You better live for God the best of your ability and beg God to help. How do you reap? I'll tell you how David reaped. He reaped through his children. He didn't reap immediately. But he reaped. And can I tell you, Yahweh's reap more than you sow. Yahweh's reap more than you sow. A lot of us would be honest, we would say this, we may be reaping a little bit in our Christian life. I've had things come up in my life and I just had to ask myself, am I reaping my carnal Christian life? I told you this, and I know I need to close, but I saved at a young age, did most of my sinning after I got saved. I'm not like a lot of y'all just got saved, started living for God, and lived for Him from then on. No, I got saved and just a kid, and I went through the teenage years as a saved person. And the early 20s. I done most of my sinning after I got saved. I'm so ashamed of that. And I've asked myself sometimes, I know I've been forgiven, I know I'm right with God, but it don't nullify the law of reaping and sowing. I just wonder if I'm not at times reap some of the things that I sowed in my life. I want to say this, don't live by the flesh, walk in the Spirit, not after the flesh, because God's not mocked. I wish I could just drive that truth in. I wish I could call back some years, but I can't. Really, that's why I try to go so hard sometimes. I know you can't make it up, but I sure would like to if I could. God's not mocked, church. You won't play games with God. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And I understand you could make a salvation application. I'm not against that, if that's what you think or believe. But I believe contextually it's speaking to believers. And then it says this, and I tell you what, let's just stop right there. I've got 3 or 4 more points, and we'll just bring them up tonight if it's the Lord's will. I want to ask you, how are you sowing? Are you mocking God? You know you're saved, but you're sowing after the flesh. Can I tell you, there'll be a reaping for you. There'll be a harvest down the road. Maybe you just need to recommit to the Lord. I don't know. I just feel like I need to quit. I want to tell you, God is not mocked. Well, I'm just doing this or doing that. I'm just angry. I'm just hateful. I'm just a little bit envious. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth that, shall he also reap. I don't want to reap corruption. I don't want to reap things that's rotten and no good in my life. I want to reap those things for the glory of God. Oh my, I want to ask you today, have you been playing? Are you mocking God? I know nobody would just make fun of God. Although I did hear, have a fellow tell me one time he shook his fist and God looked up and shaking his fist and cursing God. He told me that. Man, I just put chills on me. I don't think there's nobody in this room that would do that. But by your life, the way you're living, your half-heartedness, your playing, your lukewarmness, whatever word I need to say, are you mocking God? Do you need to get right with Him? Brother Allen, come, you and Miss King to the piano. Just bow your heads. I don't know. I just kind of got hung up on that. I just want to tell you this. God is not mocked. Say, preacher, I think I need to be doing this. I think I need to be whatever that might be. You better not play around with God. I've heard people say this. They said this, and I heard it when I was a kid. If you can keep from preaching, don't preach. I always thought I'd be a preacher, and that always would catch my ear. You know, the fact of the matter, if God were calling you to preach, you can keep from preaching. You can resist the Holy Ghost. There's folks that's done that. By their own testimony, they've done that. They've refused what God had for their life. I just wonder, aren't we playing? See anybody here say, preacher, I've been playing. I've been sowing to the flesh. I've been talking about people. I've not been loving. I've had hatred in my heart. I've had envy and malice and strife. Oh, preacher, I've been letting the flesh control me. I just wonder, God is not mocked. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. How about it this morning? God dealing with